Welcome to the Worldwide Golf Insider Podcast, episode 395. Greetings, everyone. Tom Brussell here as we inch our way to episode number 400. So glad you joined us today. Wherever you are, however you may be listening, we're just glad that you made us a part of your day. And we've got someone I've wanted to have on for a long time. We caught up a bit at the PGA Merchandise Show, an old friend from Callaway Golf, Mr. Michael Verska. Michael, thanks so much for carving the time out, my friend.
Oh, Tom, you're very welcome. 395, that's pretty close. I wonder what the last time I was on. It might have been 200. So it's pretty cool. It's been a while, but great to be back.
8 years ago and a lifetime ago for both of us, you know. But in dog years, it was, you know, at 40 years ago or something like that, right?
That's about right.
Michael, I'm looking at the LinkedIn page, and I don't even want to begin to announce to our audience your title. It's so many words, so much going on there. Tell them a little bit about what you do at Callaway Golf.
Yeah, so just for clarity, there will be no test at the end, but the official title is Director of Custom Fitting and Player Performance. So I'll kind of break it up before the and after. The Director of Custom Fitting part is really focused on fitting strategy. What does fitting look like 1 year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? What data, what tools, what services that can Callaway provide to stores as well as our own fitters? But most importantly, how do we help consumers get fit better? And do that, you know, I do get in a little of the day to day, you know, kind of shafts and heads and all that stuff now, but really trying to focus. You know, look at protocols and review all that stuff. I really try to focus on what's next. And then the player performance part is similar to, but different than, you know, not, you know, it's how do we help players besides, Jay, here's the right driver head for you. This is the right shaft weight and flex. This is the right golf ball. That's really important, but we're looking at some other cool, interesting ways, you know, pulling some stuff from things we do with our tour players at the elite level that we might be able to pull down to help everyday players. It's not a ton of that's not public knowledge yet, but it's something I work on and excited about what the kind of the next 12 to 18 months look for in that. So a lot of my stuff is forward looking, and I certainly get in the weeds still now and then day to day, but you know, really trying to focus on how to make golfers help golfers play better and enjoy the game more.
Yeah, and fitting does change, and it has changed. Just think about the last time you were on 8 years ago. I don't think we had driver heads that could come off. We had movable weights, maybe some things like that. But boy, it's really changed.
Yeah, fitting continues to evolve as technology evolves. You know, there's more and more investment in the fitting space, which is wonderful. You know, I really like to think Callaway's a leader in that from our adjustability in the drivers and fairways and hybrids. Some of the cool things we're doing with putter fitting now is Odyssey continues to be the number one putter on tour, number one putter on golf, and even golf ball fitting. That's one thing that, you know, I've been preaching a phrase to all of our fitters, and anytime I can get in front of other fitters, every fitting is a ball fitting. Obviously, when we talk about getting the right, you know, launch angle and ball speed and spin rate on a driver, and getting, you know, the same thing on your irons, your wedges. The golf ball is a critical factor of that. Golf ball spin rates can vary pretty greatly. Certainly, some of the speeds can vary greatly, and it should be part of the fitting process. So, time, technology, and marches on. Hopefully, in a positive for both.
Boy, just this first few minutes, I'm just thinking to myself, this could be like a 3 or 4 part episode here. There's so much to go into. Let's dive into this first, because almost every podcast episode we have with any manufacturer or talking about any product, if you listen to them, we stress two things. Number one, if you're a recreational or normal or average golfer and you have equipment in your bag that's older than 3 to 4 years, you will see a big leap in your performance by coming into something new. Agreed? I mean, that's a no-brainer. But
there's a few asterisks to that. But yeah, if you're playing older technology that's 3 to 5 years old, I really like our chances and you know, any fitting bay to beat it. And one of the ways I always preach it is, you know, but prove it to yourself. Make the onus on the fitter. Bring your gamer clubs, what you're playing now, and compare the data head to head. You know, any good fitter will be excited for that because they know they can get you in something better. They know the technology advanced. They know with the different levers from shafts and grips and specs and heads that they can pull, that they can do that. So if you're a consumer out there going, well, you know, I spent this money 4 or 5 years ago, it probably won't matter. First of all, I think you're going to be very pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. And two, you know, prove it to yourself. Take your gamer clubs in. If it, you know, bring your 7-iron, bring your driver, bring your wedge to your fitting. You'll see those launch spin, carry distance, consistency, really consistency. You know, a lot of things about drivers this year, you know, you talk about our driver faces with AI face technology. You know, so much is about distance and speed, but a lot of it's about consistency and accuracy as well. So there's lots of ways for these new clubs to win in a fitting environment. But again, the numbers speak for themselves. So consumers can see that and verify it.
And you just made my second point for me. The second thing we stress is, and Glenn Hickey said it when we interviewed him a month or so ago, is if you go get that equipment, that new equipment, a Callaway equipment, and pull it off the rack, yeah, it'll be better than what you have now. But it's not going to be the best it can be for you. It's not going to perform to the best unless you take the time and dial it in and get fit. So I guess how I'd like to lead this off, Michael, is talk about some of the resistances to get fit. I mean, what are some of the reasons that you hear? The one I hear is, oh, I'm not good enough. And it's like, no, you're the perfect person to get fit, right?
Yeah, and so, I mean, good news, bad news. The good news is, you know, we have got lots of good data, both Callaway and the NGF, National Golf Foundation, that more and more players are getting fit. So the resistance is waning, but it's still out there. You know, if I could kind of name a few of them, and I'll kind of give counter arguments, you know, and you hit the biggest one, I'm not good enough or I'm not consistent enough. They're kind of the same thing. I hear that a lot. And those are the players that we can generally do the most good for. Now, hopefully I'm not going to get too long-winded here, but touching a couple points. You know, when we're working with a player like Xander Schauffele, or we're looking, you know, trying to help Akshay Bhatia, who just won, when we're looking at those players, we're trying to literally get fractions of a shot, right? I mean, they're incredible players. You know, we have incredible data on them. You know, we're not trying to make them 2 shots better or 10 yards better. You know, we're looking at fractional increments so they can continue to march toward being the number one player of the world. You know, higher handicap players, we can get them 10, 15, 20 yards on a tee shot, a full club on an iron sometimes, several shots off a handicap, statistically speaking. You know, those are big changes. So it's actually a little easier to fit. It's a little easier to win with those players who are saying, oh, I'm not good enough, consistent enough. And one of the other things I want to stress, and I've talked about this on social media and numerous other podcasts, but I'm going to keep preaching it until it gets to the full masses. Is golfers' swings are way, way more consistent than they think. Now, their results might not be. And I'll just give a driver example. It's a pretty easy one. Let's say you're kind of 3 or 4 out to in. You can play some good golf with an out to in path of 3 or 4 degrees. Let's just take back-to-back swings. One when the club face is 1 degree close to path, and one when the face is 2 degrees open to path. And that's only 3 degrees. Now, if you look at an old school analog clock, meaning one with hands on it, 1 second is 6 degrees. So we're talking about the half of 1 second on a clock. That's 3 degrees. The one that's 1 degree close to path, that ball's going to start left and go left. The one that's 2 degrees open to path is going to start kind of straight-ish and then bend to the right. And they're going to go, see, those balls were 30 yards apart. I'm not consistent enough to get fit. In reality, everything else was exactly the same except for face angle. And then we can start talking about which one's more common. Which one do you not like to look up? Which side of the golf course you normally play has more trouble on? You know, and we can help them with that. So the whole I'm not good enough and I'm not consistent enough. You know, if you've played golf a few times, you've been to the range, you're committed to the game, you are good enough to get fit, and your fitter will make it more enjoyable and help you play better. Full stop.
Michael, what do you say to the golfer that has the angst about, I guess, seeing the numbers, meaning, you know, they like to think they hit it, you know, 240 or so, but they really don't. You know, it's kind of, maybe it's like that person that wants to lose weight, but doesn't want to look in the mirror or get on the scale kind of thing. You know, it's, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, that's very true. That's kind of the number two one I get is one, I'm not comfortable in hitting indoors or I'm not comfortable with numbers. And both of those are pretty easily fixable. The indoor, you know, hitting bays are so great now. They're large. There's plenty of room. There should be no fear there. And quite frankly, the consumers don't need to know the numbers. That's why we have trained fitters. That's why Callaway and Worldwide and all these great places spend all this money, all this effort to have our fitters be trained. It's their job to look at the numbers. You know, I don't go to the doctor and you know, I judge a broken leg for myself. I pay the doctor to do that. In fact, I don't want to look at that. I'm not a big blood broken bone guy. That's not my thing. But I pay experts to, you know, if something happens to me, to tell me what's wrong. Doctor, dentist. Think of the same thing as a fitter. You don't need to know what the numbers mean. Now, if you have questions, ask the fitter. Hey, I saw this one did this, and I saw that one did that. Help me understand those numbers. What does face to pass mean? What does launch angle really mean? What is peak height? What's descent angle? Those are all great questions. You can use your fitting both as a great experience, a fun time, but also learning time while you get fit into the best golf clubs for you. So I do hear that one occasionally, and it's justified, but that's not your job, consumer. Your job is to go in there, have fun, hopefully learn a little, but most importantly, get dialed in for the best clubs possible.
That reminds me of the story of Mr. Palmer when they were, you know, he was trying out some new drivers and they were trying different shafts and they didn't have anything on them, the grams, the weight, the flex or anything. And the one he hit best, he's like, oh no, I can't play that. Once he found out what it was, you know, it's because like, no, you're looking for performance and all this. Don't worry about what's on it. Worry about how it works.
Amen. Even the great Arnold Palmer has a little bit of ego, right? And if we can check those at the door, at the fitting door, and say, you know, I'm going to play with whatever feels best and whatever numbers are best, you know, that would be well suited for everybody, including the great Mr. Palmer. Obviously, he'll be missed at the Masters and everything else. But yeah, even the best players have egos. And again, you know, hopefully those can get checked and you can trust your fitter and trust the numbers.
Speaking of the types of fitting, Michael, I guess if you're going to get fit, probably want to break this down several different ways, right? I mean, maybe not all eat the elephant all in one bite. You're going to have your driver maybe fittings and wood fittings, iron fittings, wedge fittings, like you said, putter, ball. I mean, it depends on what part of the game you want to attack. It might be tough to do this all at once, correct?
It really can be. I mean, you know, doing a full bag fitting is possible. Mm-hmm. But you know, it really comes into how many good swings that you have on that day.
Yeah.
You know, if you're an elite athlete or, you know, former college player and still hit balls regularly, then maybe you can go for a full bag fitting at one time. But most golfers, in fact, virtually all kind of weekend warriors, if you will be best suited to break that fitting up into a couple different bites. Obviously, you know, there's finances involved and how much you can spend, which also might spread it out over time as well. But, mm-hmm. You know, most importantly, we want to get good shots, good swings from you. That doesn't mean perfect swings. You know, the fitters will learn great information from your good shots as well as your bad shots. So yeah, doing a full bag fitting is a little tough. You can certainly do drivers and fairway woods in one day. You could certainly do irons and wedges in one day. You know, maybe bump hybrids into one or the other, depending on how you're doing, if you're looking for that. You know, you can do a great putter fitting in 20, 30 minutes. You know, golf ball fittings can be 15 or 20 minutes and still very thorough. So, yeah, there should be no one pressing going, oh, boy, I need to go get fit for all my clubs at once. You know, if you're ready to do that both from a time commitment and a financial commitment, even then I'd recommend spreading it out over 2 weeks. Maybe, you know, pick two Fridays back to back. Break the bag in half, so to speak, and do one, and then do one the following week would be a great way to go.
Yeah, because you're talking about a lot of swings. Unless you're playing a lot could happen with a lot of swings. You get tired, fatigue sets in, and you might not be at your best all the way through the fitting if you're trying to do it all at once.
Yeah, there's also real mental fatigue, right? You know, even, you know, that you're listening to your fitter, you're doing that, but there's still a lot to take in. So the physical is certainly important and probably more important from the number space, but also we want the fitting to be a great experience. We want it to be fun and the learning, as we've talked about. So again, breaking it up, making sure you're well hydrated, making sure you brought the right clothing that you'd normally play golf in. You got your normal glove and all those things. But again, breaking it up will keep you fresh both physically and mentally, ready to make a really good buying decision at the end.
So a customer is going to one of our Worldwide Golf locations to get fit. You just mentioned the things they should bring, but what should they look for in the fitting? Like you said, you may not want to look at the numbers, but on the launch monitors, the numbers are going to be there. But that's a good thing to me. I mean, you get to see the results, yours versus the new stuff, correct?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the fitters want real feedback. If you don't like the look of something, you can say that. You know, they're obviously, you know, I want everybody to get fit in to purchase Callaway clubs. That's, you know, one of the reasons I'm here is to help with that. But, you know, there might be something that, hey, you know, I really come in asking for one brand, but be open to other brands if the fitter suggested it. But also provide real feedback. Hey, this club just doesn't feel the way I want it to. That's good feedback. Let's take that one out and find a different option. Hey, you know, I'm willing to hit this one. Let's see what the numbers are. But, you know, this one's got a lot more offset. I like the look of the last one, and the numbers are similar. That's great information. So, you know, what the consumer should look for, again, is to have fun. Please go with an open mind. You can make suggestions. Hey, my buddy played the new Paradigm AI Smoke. I hit it for the first time. I absolutely killed it. I definitely want to hit that one today. That's great feedback for the fitter. You know, it's kind of intro or like, hey, this is my budget today. You know, I've got this many dollars. So kind of keep that in mind. Again, great information for the fitter. And then give honest feedback. This one feels great. Yeah, I didn't really love the feel of this one. Boy, this shaft feels a little stiff for me, or whatever the case may be. And as you mentioned, you know, look at the numbers, ask questions, learn, but most importantly, have fun. A fitting experience should be a positive experience all the time.
And just so the golfer should know, kind of break it down for us a little bit, what they should look for. Obviously, with driver, you're looking for a higher launch and a lower spin, correct? And kind of, and it varies with irons. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So drivers, I mean, I think high launch, low spin is not a bad generalization, but I really like the right launch and the right spin for your head delivery. You know, someone who's bringing in a club head speed of 115 miles an hour, they're definitely going to want higher launch and lower spin. But somebody's coming in with 72 miles an hour, they're going to need a little more spin just to keep the ball in the air. So it's really the combination of ball speed, launch angle, and spin rate together that are going to dictate what it is. You know, the faster the speed you have, more club head ball speed, the more spin is important. The slower your swing speed, the more important launch is. And obviously, there's a crossover in the middle there. But again, your fitter will help guide you. When we're looking at irons, you know, getting the right launch angle, spin rate is really, really critically important. With irons, we're going to look at descent angle. That's also how the ball is coming down. Those two combined are going to help kind of dictate how the ball will react on the greens. Obviously, we're looking for ball speed across the board, whether it's drivers or irons. We're also looking for a little more consistency on the irons, right? Drivers, the goal is literally to maximize. You know, it's a distance club. You're getting up there. You want to hit it as far as possible. Irons are a little more precision, right? There might be some gapping issues to consider. You know, you want to make sure they're gapped out far enough that you don't have two clubs that go the same distance. So that's also going to be an important factor you're looking at. Wedges, you know, you're going to look at the bounce, you're going to look at the grind, you're going to look at the consistency and gapping from your 9-iron, your pitching wedge to your gap, your sand, your lob. That's really important. And wedges, maybe more than any other club, is where you play golf. You play golf with a lot of rough, or maybe you play with none. Maybe you play really firm fairways, or maybe you play at a country club that's got really soft sand in the bunkers, and how that might affect the bounce and grind that you select. So it definitely varies a little bit. Again, drivers is really a distance club. We're trying to maximize that with some consistency from a direction standpoint and dispersion standpoint. Irons, it's, you know, really about gapping, consistency, getting the right ball flight, spin so critical there. And then wedges is kind of the playability. What shots do you want to play? Where do you play? And how those gap into your irons. So, you know, if you look at the kind of clubs and fairways and hybrids are kind of fitting in there too. Again, make sure the gapping's right, getting trajectories that fit between, so you have different clubs that can do different things, whether you need it off the tee or off the fairway, you need that 7-wood out of the rough or not. So again, your fitter's going to ask you questions about your game. If you're lucky enough to have on-course data, there's numerous ways to get that. Please take that into your fitter. That's so helpful for them to really understand your game and what's going on. Tell me, you know, how often you practice, if you're taking lessons, all that will be factored in. So yeah, from top to bottom, there's a lot to take in. That's why we have great fitting professionals.
Before we close, I want to ask you two more. One, if they've never been fit before, talk about the importance of grip size.
Great point. And unfortunately, I think grip sometimes gets overlooked because a lot of times You know, the consumers don't take that into account. Well, you know, this one, I like the feel of this one. So with grip size, we really want to look at two things. One, comfort. You know, can you, and then two, can you hold that grip consistently from a pressure standpoint throughout the swing? You know, some people grip it really tightly. Some people grip a little loosely. Both of those can be fine, but we want to be able to make sure you can maintain that from the start to the top of the golf swing when you start to bring it back down all the way through the finish. So, you know, people with bigger hands tend to need bigger grips. People with smaller hands tend to need smaller grips. But there's nothing wrong. I'm actually on the smaller side of hand. I use a men's medium grip, which is kind of, again, obviously kind of more middle, but I use plus two wraps on mine. So a little bit bigger grip. Some might call that a 30-second over type thing. I've found that that helps me maintain a consistent grip pressure. So a great thing to talk to your fitter about, getting the right texture, the right feel, whether it's soft or hard, as well as size. You mentioned for new golfers, people haven't been fit before, but you know, it's really critical for anybody, to make sure they've got the right grip size and texture and something they're comfortable with.
Michael, we'll get you out of here on this one. None of us hit the ball in the center of the club face every single time. We're all looking for a little more forgiveness on those miss hits. Talk about your line now, just 30 seconds. Talk about the unmatched forgiveness of the new Paradigm AI smoke line.
Yeah, we continue to use the artificial intelligence in ways that really no one else in the industry can. You know, for the first time, instead of just looking at ball impact, which we've looked at for years and how that affects performance, we're actually looking at swings, whether you're in to out, out to in, hitting up on it, hitting down on it. And we've been able to take all of those data, tens of thousands of swings, hundreds of thousands of shots, millions of data points, and use micro deflections on different parts of the face to maximize spin consistency, ball speed consistency, and shot correction. That dispersion downrange being tighter than ever. And again, you know, you don't have to take my word for it. Go into your worldwide bay, ask to hit AI smoke, compare it to your gamer. You will see it for yourself. This is real game-changing technology driven by artificial intelligence that we're super proud of. Getting great results from the bays, great results from consumers, who are telling us, hey, you know what? You're right. I am seeing that data. So it's been a great year for us so far. Hoping things like this will help continue to push that forward.
Hey, Michael Verska, Callaway Golf, thanks so much for joining us, man. It's been long overdue. Glad to have you back on. How about a couple final words for our listeners?
Yeah, Tom, I appreciate you having me. Again, and everyone, you know, obviously I push fitting, but I push it because it helps people play golf better. You know, if you're going to go spend, you know, real money, golf clubs are not cheap in general. They're, you know, they cost real money. It usually doesn't cost any extra to go get fit. So if you're going to spend the money, get the right one for you. It's, you know, not much different than going get it fit for a suit or a dress, you know, getting the right belt size. You wouldn't just go for the first one off the rack that you look at. You'd find one, you'd try it on, you'd make sure you look great in it. Too many people grab the first thing. Again, whether it's a putter or a golf ball, all of those can be fit and optimized for your individual golf swing. So take a little time, spend the same amount of money, and make it way better for yourself.
Couldn't be said any better. Michael, thanks so much. So let's do it again down the road, my friend.
Much sooner than 8 years.
There you go. Thanks, buddy. So well said. Michael Verska, Director of Custom Fitting for Callaway Golf. Director of Custom Fitting and a number of other things, as he said. But take the time. Get dialed in. Don't just grab the clubs off the rack. They will perform better if you have something older, but they won't perform at their absolute best unless you take the time. Get into one of our worldwide golf locations and get custom fit. Well, special thanks to Michael Verska for joining us and to you, our listeners. We'll do it again next time. We have another episode of the Worldwide Golf Insider Podcast right here at worldwidegolf.com. So long, everyone.